We are indeed glad that everybody's here. I want to refresh your memory a little bit about something this morning. On August the 15th of 2008, at 3:30 in the morning, I was sound asleep, and the telephone rang. And when the telephone rings at 3:30 in the morning, you always say to yourself, this can't be good. And it wasn't. And there was a lady on the phone, and I don't know who she was. I don't know if she worked with the fire department or the sheriff's deputy or what she was. But she said, is this Brother Eaton? And I said, yeah. And she said, your church is on fire at Mount Fine. And I said, no, ma'am. Of course, I was still groggy. I just woke up, and I couldn't believe it. And I said, I think you're talking about Mount Pleasant. That's old news. That's 2 days ago. She said, no, I'm telling you, it's Mount Zion, and it's happening right now. And I thanked her and jumped out of bed and put my clothes on, and we ran out of here. And sure enough, the building was on fire, and the flames were 50, 100 feet tall. The fire department people here, sheriff's deputies, about half of you, and then the rest of them came later. And it just was destroyed right before our very eyes. It was really traumatic. We stood around and we hugged each other and we wept over what we saw was taking place. And that beautiful old building that was built in 1852, partly by slave labor, was destroyed before our very eyes. And after that was over and the shock kind of wore off a little bit, we began to wonder what we were going to do. Elder Spasher was one of the elders. Charles Sandage was an elder at that time, and three of the four elders that we have today were deacons at that time, and of course here's all of the deacons. And we had a little get together pretty quickly, and we said, what are we going to do? And I don't think that there was a single one of us that had any other idea about building this building back. And so you might remember of what almost immediately took place as we continued to worship at the cafeteria at the school and at the community center when it was available, which was most of the time. And Carolyn Basham told me, she coordinated all of that, and she said that there were people that had community center already rented that gave up their terms so the Church of Christ at Mount Zion could meet in that building. Gave up their terms, didn't they? Didn't have to. And out of those cold, black ashes, my wife of Phoenix began to arrive at the new building that you see today. It was 8 months. And the ghost of time's passed before my eyes today of people that work on this building. I close my eyes today when I see Elder Spasher out in the parking lot picking up blocks and dragging around little pieces of plastic, doing what he was able to do. I see Charles Sanders sitting on the one pile of lumber, watching the progress that was being made. I see Cecil Gray arguing with Steve about the width of one saw blade, about whether this is too long or too short. And I see David Willis. And I see Terry Simpson. Both that are now gone. But I see you, the people that are here today, many of you, some of you are more recent than that, but I see so many of you that did work on this building at that time. And I'm still myself am grateful for that. I remember the sacrifice that the women of this congregation made because they continued to lead us throughout this 8 month period. And I remember that we worked and we sacrificed our Saturdays, every Saturday. And we were out here As I'm saying, those rain or shine. I remember one day we worked out here once it snowed. People went out of work. And I remember the people in this community that had no personal value with the church came and helped. They didn't have to, but they did. And the church was built. And I remember the day we finally put the seat up there. And I remember the clouds going over. And if you're up in a high place and see the clouds going over, it looks like that thing's falling. And Steve Mullen, smart as he just was convinced it was falling. And I remember Greg and Steve and some of the others that were on the side that said, "Steve, it's not falling, it's not falling." And I was standing out in the parking lot trying to tell them which way to go with the steeple. And we got the steeple set that day. And it's the same steeple that was on the building of the Mount Pleasant Church when it burned 2 days before. But it was saved. And we got it today. They got another. And I think about a man whose name was Nehemiah. And remember that the children of Israel had been carried off into captivity over the Babylon. And years had passed, and Nebuchadnezzar was dead, and Belshazzar was dead, and Cyrus and Darius. And there was a man that's come to the throne, whose name is Artaxerxes. He's the king, that means not much to most of us. But the only kind of people that were left in the old city of Jerusalem that was so dear to most of them, most of them, just like our old building was dear to us, the only people that was left were just, I guess it's a harsh way of saying it, but they were just the dregs of society. It was people that were poor, uneducated, unskilled, had nothing to offer. And the reason that they weren't taken over there in captivity is because they didn't want them. They were a burden on society. And so they just left them. And there was a young man whose name was Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, though a slave, became the cupbearer to the king. Now, if you know what a cupbearer is, that meant that he brought his wine by his end, but his duty was to sample the wine first, make sure it wasn't poison. Acts like that, a job like that. So the king wouldn't be assassinated. And there was a man whose name was Hanani that came from Jerusalem over there. And he met with Nehemiah and he said, "Nehemiah, you wouldn't believe it, but if you could see what Jerusalem looks like today, it would give you." I'm paraphrasing. He said, "The cities, the stones are torn down, the walls are torn down, the gates have been burnt with fire. That place is just a shit." If you can think about what Jerusalem used to look like in its splendor, its grandeur under the days of David and Solomon, and if you could see that place now, you wouldn't even recognize it. He said the people they're in pitiful shape. Nobody's taking care of them. They're starving to death. They're being persecuted by their neighbors around them. The city is nothing. And when Nehemiah heard these words, here's what he said about himself. He said, "I sat down as well." And I think about the tears that we shed because of what happened to us here at Mount Sinai. We sat down and we wept. And Nehemiah still had his work to do. He was still a slave. And the Bible says that Nehemiah carried the king's cup in to him, and Artaxerxes looked at him and he said, "What's the matter with you?" And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm never looking at you. There's something wrong with you. Are you sick?" And finally, the king just decided within himself, he said, "You're sick, all right, but you're sick at heart. Now, what's this all about?" And Nehemiah was afraid to tell him because he was a slave. All that Artaxerxes would have done would just snap his fingers and get rid of him. And so he didn't want to tell him. But Artaxerxes wouldn't have any other way, and Nehemiah told him about Jerusalem. He said, Artaxerxes said, "Well, what do you want me to do about it?" And I guess that Nehemiah had said within himself, well, I've gone this far, I just will go the rest of the way. He told him, he said, I wish I could go back to Jerusalem, take some men with me, and rebuild the walls, rebuild the gates that have been burned with fire, rebuild the buildings, and make Jerusalem. He said, it's a shame, it's a personal shame to me that it's like that for all the neighbors around to mock us, to laugh at us. And Artaxerxes thought enough of it, and I'm sure there was divine intervention. I have no doubt about what in my mind whatsoever. He said, okay, take off. And so he did, and they went back over there. Among their enemies, these Jews, among their enemies, and it was so dangerous that Nehemiah, he went around the walls to take a look at what was going to need to be done at night. He wouldn't even do it today. So he sort of snuck around and seen what had to be done. And then he got them all together, just like we got together after our disaster here at Mount Zion. And they went to work. And Brett read to us this morning, there were some of those outsiders that looked and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? What are they doing? Do they think that they can put that city back together that is in such ruins? And if you have a picture in your mind about what those ruins must have looked like, you need to see a picture of what this church looked like, this church building the old one, when it burned. And it looked like this. And I remember the day that Jimmy Davenport came in here with a bulldozer and started cleaning up. And that about made me leave. Just old black ashes and pushing them out of the way. But like a phoenix, this new building rose. And they went to work, and because of some things I got listed on the board, in 52 days, just 52 days, they had it back. Had it back in place. Took us 8 months, and we worked at it. And our goal was is to get back in this, to get into this new building by Easter of the next year. And by the grace of God, we made it. We wasn't hardly done. There were some things that still had to be done, a few little things. But we made it here that Sunday morning, Easter of 2009. And I think about the contributions that each of you made. And we went to work together. And all of us didn't have the same talent. Never one time did I see a fashion up in the trusses. That wasn't his thing. He didn't need to be up there. Ellis was the only man. He didn't need to be up there. But there was things on the ground he could do. And he did. And I think about my then son-in-law, Steve. Who helped us, who really ran the show and put it together. And I think about my 17-year-old grandson, Adam, here today, up in there laying my head on the mountain. And I think about Steve Lyons and Shane Evans putting the tile back here, and Alan Stewart back here painting. And we all knew what we could do, and I think about Ryan. And we wouldn't have a recorded history if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for them. And if you ever see that tape, it'll still break your heart. Even today. And people came. I know, Mary told me the other day we were talking about it a while back, and she said that Channel 13 was out here 6 times. An interview made and I asked one of these reporters, I don't remember his name now. I said, why do y'all, are y'all taking such an interest in Mount Zion? And I ain't seen nothing about Mount Pleasant. He said, well, this is a human interest story. Y'all are doing this yourself. Mount Pleasant, you know, they've got a big corporation rebuilding their building. Well, we're interested in what's happening here. That's what people are doing. Y'all think? And I remember that there were people in this community, well-meaning people, not like Tobiah, not like Sanballat, not enemies, but people said, "You've lost your building. Why don't you just split up? If you live closer to Richardsville, go there. If you live closer to Mount Pleasant, go up to Mount Pleasant. If you live closer to Lehman Avenue, go there. Go. You know, why even have a church in Mount Pleasant?" And I remember another question. They said, "Y'all got enough money to build a new church?" And obviously, we didn't have it in the treasury. But for those of you that are new, and those of you that don't know, we did have an insurance policy on the building through Farm Bureau. Debbie Lyons, one of her own, she made sure that every T was crossed and every I was on it. She's got a good boss. And even though we had to have an investigation by the higher up to Farm Bureau, they bought us. And we had our own members and others that gave donations to the church. And I'm sure Marilyn has still got the figure somewhere what it cost us to replace this building, but when we got through, we didn't know nobody in that. We were not in debt. And we had to God said. And after 52 days, all these people mocking and deriding and making fun of them. One of them, as you heard Brett read this morning, said, "They're these feeble Jews. Why, they're building that wall, putting those old rocks back and everything. They've been a fire. Why, even if a fox gets up on it and starts trotting, it'll fall down. They laugh." And I know that there were people in this community that thought we must have been crazy. One argument that I heard was, you know, that church has been out there at Mount Zion for all these years, set up on top of the bluff. It's an isolated place. It's not on the way to nowhere. Why build it there? Why don't you go up there on 185 for somebody else, somewhere else, and build it there? We heard a lot of different arguments from a lot of different people. But this is home. And this is where we put it back. And today, it's doing God's work. Now, for those of you that are newer and younger in this church and wonder how it got done, 8 months. It got done because of the leadership that we had. You don't do nothing without leadership. One of the problems that I've got today with our society, with our government in general, is that we don't display the kind of leadership that we ought to have to go forward. Nehemiah was a good leader. He got them all together. He was a good leader. He got them together. And he said, "Let's do this." And so they did. And that's what it took here at Mount Zion, is to have good leadership. And that's what it takes for Mount Zion to continue today, to continue to grow, is to have good leadership. Another point that I noticed was that we had to have cooperation. We had tremendous cooperation when we built this building. They had tremendous cooperation when they built the walls of the city of Jerusalem and replaced those gates that have been burnt to fire. You know, let me tell you what they had to do. Because they had enemies around them, we didn't have enemies like they had. They had Saul with one hand and hold their weapon in the other hand. We didn't have to do that when we rebuilt the building. Nobody was here. Nobody called a gun, tried to stop us from building it back. But they had to. And at one time they said, "Where's the workforce that was there? Half of them had to be on guard and the other half didn't work." That's how bad it was in that day. And still they got another 52 days. They repaired the breaches of the city. They repaired the gates. All the time, people laughing at them and calling them and say, "What do these people choose?" I wonder what people said that. What do these people, feeble people at Mount Zion think they're doing? Why are they building that building back? Why is it so important that a congregation be located in that place? Why is it so important? And only we knew the answer. Cooperation. The Apostle Paul said, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, you people think of yourself as alive. The eye does the seeing, the ear does the hearing, the feet do the walking, the heart does the pumping, the brain does the thinking, the hands do the work. That's the way that the church ought to work. Some nailing, some picking up the blocks, some shooting the film, some feeding us, some operation. That's what it takes. If everybody was able to do the same thing, it'd be like a human body that didn't have anything but an eye. There's more to it than just seeing. And there's more to the church, and there's more to the work of the church. I want to say to you this morning that everybody in this building this morning that's a member of this church has got a talent. It may be different from my talent, what little I thought, but you've got a talent, and the talent that you got, I may not be able to do. I may be like an ear that can't see. And that's the way the church continues to grow. It worked in that day because God was with them. It works in our day because God is with us. Leadership, cooperation, organization. They had organization. The goldsmiths, they didn't lay the rocks. The carpenters that knew wood and saws, they didn't do the intricate work that was to be done in the temple with the gold. Each one did what he was able to do. If I had done the cooking for the people that was working here, all of you would have starved to death. You wouldn't want my cooking. But we got good cooks. We got the best cooks. That's fair. That's fair. The different places that we go, you know what she always says, Mount Zion got the best cooks anywhere we go. That's fair. But it ain't my cooking. If I can do that. Leadership, cooperation, organization, and we had motivation. We built this building back here at Mount Zion because we wanted to. That's the reason that it's here today. That's the reason you're sitting in your seat today is because we wanted to do this. We were motivated to put it back. I don't know who burned it. I've talked to the state police. I've talked to the FBI, I have talked to ATL in Louisville, I talked to the head of the insurance company that David works for. I don't know who did it. I don't know why they did it. I don't know what their motivation was to burn our building and Mount Pleasant. I don't know what it was. But we were motivated to put it back, and here it is today. More beautiful and better and stronger than it was before. I counted six times that Nehemiah went to God in prayer. And he asked God for guidance, for oversight, for supervision. Six times. You know, if the Bible hadn't recorded one, I would have been impressed. But I counted six times that he said, God, what do you want to do now? God, what do you got in store for us? God, what do you want from us? Now, he stayed in contact with God. All those Sundays that we met at the community center and in the basement of the school, never one time can I remember one prayer that was ever offered up that whoever led that prayer didn't pray for the welfare of the church at Mount Zion and for the work that was going on. Never one time was it omitted. Prayer is important. Prayer will continue to be important to the church here at Mount Zion. What do these people Jews? They do the will and the work of God. Fast one. Even though we have all these other elements, if you don't stay with it, it'll never get done. I can remember in the last few days before we were trying to beat that deadline to get in this building on Easter Sunday, it looked like we wasn't going to make it. So we started working at night. And we stay out here till 11, 12, not 12, I don't believe, but 10 or 11 o'clock at night, many nights. Don't tell this, but we came out here on Sunday evening and worked some too. Now, for those that say, "Well, you're supposed to work on Sunday," well, we did. And we made it. We got it. We were persistent. And that beautiful Sunday morning, we walked into this beautiful building. And we worked hard. And even though there might have been many outside that said, "What do these people use?" But I believe that it was important to this community, and we wouldn't have so many non-members that came to help us. And certainly we have cooperation from our own family. Some of you that knew and haven't been going here very long, I want you to know that. So there's a lot more to it, but I give you the bird's eye view of it this morning. Take persistence. Churches that are not persistent are dying and will continue to die. We're persistent on our young people. We better be persistent on preaching the gospel. We better be persistent on taking the message of Christ in this community. Time's up. If you're here this morning and you're not a member or part of this family here at Mount Zion, we wish you were. We need you. We want you. Be a part of this church with us and help us evolve into the future. Not many miracles happen within 52 days. But miracles still happen when God entertains them. Be a part of this church with us. If you're here this morning, if there's anything that we can do in order to help, that's the reason we get back. That's the reason we're here. We're going to heaven. And we want you to come with us. Will you come, Father?